Welcome to Transitions with Ruth Ann Rehm McCaffrey. Hello, I'm Santia. I'm here with Ruth Ann. How are you?
Hi, Santia. I'm well, thanks.
Good. We're going to be talking today about dealing with natural disasters. So where do you want to start?
Well, I was thinking about the challenge of having a natural disaster experience without having it overtake our lives and perpetuate an ongoing fear. Mm-hmm. Remembering what happened when we went through 9/11 and also during earthquakes. We're in earthquake country here in the Northwest, and ice storms and various things that have happened. And I thought it might be helpful for listeners to just have some things to think about so that the natural disaster isn't an ongoing challenge for them.
Okay. So how, I guess, what is the thing that someone can do to get through that first day?
There are a number of ways that a natural disaster impacts us, and one is good. And the good way is that it happens to everybody at the same time. And so the first days or the first day of coping generally is one that has everybody doing something. In fact, in our neighborhood, we've joined together and we're learning ways to educate homeowners about how to turn off the natural gas if they have that, electricity and water, and watch out for family members that are maybe bedridden or have illnesses of some kind and can't take care of themselves. And so we know who those are and we are going to look out for them. Also, having information ahead and being part of an organized effort to put food together or medical supplies, or be sure you have your own medical needs taken care of or those of your pets, so that the first day, if we have gather together food and water and flashlights and extra clothes and blankets and so on, we won't be so kind of left without resources. Then after that, it becomes dealing with a longer-term experience, and it depends on the extent to which the natural disasters happen, whether it's something local or something national. Or something local, like an earthquake, might mean that our home is no longer livable, and then we step into needing help from organizations that are bigger than we are. Mm-hmm. And knowing that those organizations are preparing at the same time that we're preparing in our little neighborhood, I think can give us a measure of comfort. But one of the big things about a natural disaster that I think makes it carries an ongoing impact is that we often feel really afraid after that. We're afraid that after 9/11, I remember the news being coming down on TV and radio and newspapers and so on, that we were going to be attacked again, and how easy it was to just have fear be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. After that. And so I'd like to talk about how to get personal power back if there is a situation where we could be overwhelmed by fear. I have a kind of a funny formula, and I'm going to go ahead and share that and then talk about how that might be helpful to put our power back in our hands. And the formula is my pi formula. And I use that because pi is easy to remember because it tastes so good, and all of us usually have memories of some kind of pi that we like. And the P is personal power equals I, information, plus E, energy. And if we're feeling really helpless or powerless, usually it's because we don't have adequate or true or enough, I guess that's adequate, but we don't have the kind of information that we need in order to be making really solid decisions. We're either guessing about something or we've got inaccurate information. And so it's important to look for, okay, what's the truth here? And that involves the truth about us and what we know about ourselves and what our strengths are and what our skills are and so on. And it also means, what are we dealing with here? If it's an ice storm and we know that we have some information about how to keep our home warm, either, you know, in a small amount of space, or that we've got a neighbor who has a pellet stove and we can join them or her or him. And so that's some information that's helpful. So we look for real information instead of just speculating. Lots of times people go, oh my gosh, everything is going, you know, the whole world is coming down, a kind of a Chicken Little point of view. The whole world is falling apart. And we don't know that. We only know the little bit that we know. So it requires digging a little bit, looking for sources of information that may not be colored through the lens of fear. So that's one thing. That's the I in pie. The E is energy. And when we're afraid, and what's happening around us continues to perpetuate that fear. Maybe we're getting news reports on TV that there's more ice coming, or there's been so many roads closed down, or the, you know, whatever, or 9/11, there were more threats of terrorists and we were being held at a level five or, you know, whatever. I don't know. I can't remember at this point what designations were for the most dire level of threats against our country. Continuing to take in that information, which we're so not in control of, is going to perpetuate our feeling of being helpless. And so limiting what, in those cases, where our sources of information, ones that are maybe more based on, okay, it may be that this is happening, but this is what we're going to do about it. Or continuing to think about those experiences that take energy away, maybe being around negative people or not hiding or sleeping too much because we're afraid, and so we're not helping our body be strong. So we look at those things that take our energy away and say no to any of those that we are able to. And then we say, well, what could bring us energy? What are the things that help us feel normally pretty good and pretty strong? And after 9/11, I had just a funny experience, kind of funny in that it was a surprise to me. We have a really, really good friend in our family named Dixie, and her birthday is on the 19th of September, just 8 days after 9/11 happened. And I am one of those people who loves to make birthday cakes for people. I love celebrating them in that way. I love to make homemade birthday cakes. And so Dixie's birthday was coming up, and I started to make a birthday cake for her and immediately started to feel a little better. I thought, you know, if I can make a birthday cake for somebody that I love, even when such a terrible thing has happened for our country, maybe I can do some other things that will help me feel like my life is not so scary and out of control. And so I think we each personally can look at, what can I do to help my life be as good as it can be, even though some really frightening things are going around right now?
And what you did was you helped yourself and you helped others by doing something that was normal, and that was, it was a gift to someone else as well.
Right, right. I remember, too, when the tornado hit Joplin, Missouri. We had been in Joplin a month before it happened. We'd been back in the mid part of the country helping families celebrate, helping my former mother-in-law celebrate her 90th birthday, and flew out of Joplin. and remembered feeling so upset for the people in Joplin when we heard the news, because we had just been there and you know, thought about the people in the shoe store where we stopped and in the airport and all of the little stores along the way. And they reached out and helped one another. That was one way they could deal with their personal situation. And on our end, we reached out and started thinking about what we could do to send money to the Red Cross for Joplin. Mm-hmm. And so again, what you're saying is, if we can do something for somebody else in a time of a natural disaster, it helps us, and it hopefully helps them as well, be more supported and takes the fear away, some of it, hopefully all of it, and also lets us know that we can manage, even in big situations that have such a large impact on so many people.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of social media options out there now for individuals that can tap into knowing what's going on in specific neighborhoods or regions, communities, and so forth.
Right.
Well, what about individuals who don't have a lot of resources?
You know, that's an interesting point or question that you bring up. I have a neighbor who is 81, does not have a computer, does not have an iPhone, and so she's not untypical of people her age and is not in good health. So what she can do is be willing to connect with neighbors around her and know what her own resources are as far as where to turn off the gas and so on, have her phone close to her, maybe carry it in her pocket. She does have a cell phone. Have some kind of way of communicating if something would happen to her. That's the beauty of like a medical alert mm-hmm. that people carry around their neck. That's the reason for them to be able to communicate if they fall or something like that. So people who are alone or don't have automatically the access to these ways to reach out, I think need to be pretty aggressive or pretty committed to capitalizing on the people around them and letting people know to the degree that they can about, you know, what their needs are and so on.
And that's something you probably keep an eye on.
I do.
On
we keep an eye on her. If I don't see her, I look through my laundry room window. If her television is not on, I go check on her and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So
and that's because you have that communication.
Right. And we watch out for one another. So she's participating in that as well. It's not just us kind of giving all. It's back and forth. So mm-hmm. that's the beauty of neighbors.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And what can we do to take care of ourselves? Some specific things we can do to take care of ourselves so we can ultimately help others too. What can we do that really can help us maybe on a day-to-day basis or maybe even just from moment to moment?
Well, I think it begins with having good skills, good mental health skills. So being able to breathe consciously. That sounds kind of odd, but when we're afraid, we tend to have real shallow breaths in the top half of our lungs. And if we can stop for a minute during a situation that could be scary and remember to plant our feet on the ground, feel the solid earth underneath our feet, breathe deeply, get a good oxygen, carbon dioxide exchange so that we're getting good oxygen to our brain, then we'll be more equipped to think responsibly about, all right, now what am I going to do? So that's one thing. I think knowing that we do have the preparation, have taken the time to be able to take care of ourselves by having a telephone number that we can call in the family to let everybody know we're okay, by having food set aside, by having our pets taken care of, by having the medicine that we need in one place. If we know that we've done a little bit of advance preparing, then we're not going to be so afraid. On a personal level, being being willing to take responsibility for our own health, exercising, eating right, those kinds of things that give us clarity just in everyday life will also give us clarity when we're called upon in an emergency. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of that long-term, short-term point of view. Long-term is just be in there being responsible about our own bodies and our own health and our own needs, mental health, personal, all that. And then long-term, also doing the thinking about, well, what would happen if, so that I can be participating in reaching out and being a responsible member of my community if I can, and if I don't have, you know, broken bones or something, and instead of being one that people have to take care of. And there's nothing wrong with being one that we have to take care of if it's an emergency. But if we can be one of the ones to take care of, I think that we can make a bigger contribution. I hope I can be.
Yes, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, as always.
You're welcome. So nice to talk with you.
Wonderful talking with you. Thank you for joining us. This is Santia. For more information about Ruth Ann, please go to her website at careermi.com. This program is produced and engineered by Rob Rigoni at Brown Pelican Productions. For more information about Rob, go to robrigoni.com.